Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. So, here we are then. We have reached the point of no return, it would seem. All schools are closing tomorrow. The transport networks are shutting down even as we speak. Spain will close every hotel and has urged tourists to go home. There is no more horse racing. The Canadians have shut their border with the United States of America. And London is preparing to go on a 24-hour lockdown. We will be continually broadcasting from the headquarters of Talk Radio here at News UK on London Bridge for as long as we possibly can. I've already given up travelling on public transport. I've already started coming in by car. I've already started parking my car in a rather expensive NCP car park for which I will be reclaiming my expenses. However, it would be nice if Sadiq Khan actually pulled his finger out of his backside and decided to actually cut down on the congestion charge. It might be nice as well if he gave a thought to all of those people driving around in black cabs to see what they're going to be doing. Because today we are going to be asking what exactly is going on. How are people supposed to access the money the government has promised to pay them? What are taxi drivers supposed to do to reclaim any lost revenue? I don't just mean black cab drivers in London, I mean taxi drivers all over the country. Many of you got in touch with me over the course of the last 12 hours or so to say to me that your businesses are literally falling apart. How exactly are bars and restaurants meant to cope without any customers? And it's all very well for Rishi Sunak to get up in the House of Commons and at meetings in front of the press and the world to say that we've got £315 billion to give away. Well, let's have it. Where is it? How do we get it? As ever, we want to hear your stories. What are you hearing? Where are you going? Where are you being told to go? What is actually happening in your world? Because you are, of course, the voices of reason. We are the voice of the people here at Talk Radio. We're the only radio station that cares about you. We're the only station that keeps you informed. We're the only station that tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We listen to your concerns, and we want you to share with us your experiences so that we can pass all of the stuff that you know onto everybody else. How are you going to be able to cope when your kids come home from school tomorrow? How are you going to be able to cope when you can't make any money? And by the way, I was out yesterday in three separate supermarkets, and quite frankly, what I saw was an absolute and utter disgrace. We'll be talking about that as well. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on the fastest growing radio station on the planet. It is, of course, Talk Radio.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio.
Now, as ever this morning, the newspapers are predicting a tide of doom and gloom. Now it's the schools. Prime Minister scraps exams and shuts down classes, says The Guardian. Exams cancelled after virus forces schools to shut down in The Times. Front page of The Telegraph. Schools closed as London prepares for shutdown. Schools out till summer in The Sun. A rather not handy reference to Alice Cooper's song from so long ago. I'm not sure anybody actually remembers it. Schools out, says The Daily Mail. So, let's go to one of the people that we go to whenever we need to find out what is going on at the heart of government, a man who was at the heart of government not that long ago. So Robbie Gibb, who worked with Theresa May when she was Prime Minister in Downing Street. Let's find out what he can tell us about how everything is being handled. So Robbie, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for joining us. This must be a terribly difficult time to be in charge of the country, to be in government. However, I suppose in some ways it very much focuses the mind and it very much focuses Boris Johnson on what the job is at hand.
I mean, just stepping back from it, I mean, I think the government, I mean, there's lots of criticism from people on Twitter and other areas. But if you just step back from it, I think the government are doing a very good job
yes.
in difficult circumstances. And I think the key thing, just right from the outset, make it clear is I think the government taking a decision right at the beginning to follow the science, and then with the science, getting the science advice, putting the scientists right up front and centre is incredibly reassuring.
Yes.
That the government are taking the very best advice.
And both of the scientists that we're seeing every day, Messrs. Valance and Witty, are really very convincing. They seem to know what they've got to deal with. They seem to be very measured, and they're very, for me anyway, they build my confidence when I see them speaking.
Yes, absolutely right. And I think there's all kinds of people saying there's been a U-turn, that the strategy's not working, comparing what we're doing in the UK with other countries in the world. And there's a lot of sort of armchair critics who, frankly, should spend more time trying to be helpful, by asking people to follow the advice and social distancing and helping support your local shops and takeaways and looking after friends and neighbours and the elderly. But just to, if you just step back, what is the government strategy is incredibly clear and simple. Is we all know at some point there's going to be a huge spike in the number of severe cases of this terrible virus. And the government's strategy right from the very beginning was to try and flatten that peak so that the NHS can cope. And the point at which we use more draconian measures as a country, such as the closing the schools, or what I suspect will happen tomorrow or Saturday, basically banning people from using restaurants and pubs in central London, they're all part of a measured, science-driven policy strategy, which, as you said, it is reassuring. But what I find disappointing is that there are still politicians who are still trying to make partisan points during this process, and people on Twitter, as I was saying, whipping up fear. There are so many productive things people can be doing with their time, but whipping up fear and worry is the last thing that people should be doing.
Well, it really is, and I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Piers Morgan's a former employer of mine. He used to be my boss at the Mirror, and he's a great guy, and he's a brilliant strategist. He's a fantastic journalist, a great broadcaster, but I think he's really, really barking up the wrong tree at the moment by having a go at the government constantly for not doing what he thinks they should be doing. Because after all, what the hell does he know about it?
Well, this is the thing. If I don't know where, if he had an illness, God forbid, and he went to needed some expert advice about a condition, would he go to a TV presenter or would he go to the best possible advice?
Well, exactly.
Let me guess.
And the other thing that really I almost said the wrong word there for a second, got to me yesterday was Jeremy Corbyn, who just can't bring himself to be in tune with a Tory government, which is actually doing quite a good job. He minces around, he moans and groans and sort of reluctantly pats them on the back, but then with the second question comes out with what they're not doing rather than what they are doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's and Gordon Brown as well this morning on the Today programme.
Yeah.
They say, I'm not playing party politics, and then play party politics.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, I saw him. I forgot that he was still leader of the opposition. I mean, he's trying to inject himself, and he just hasn't taken the message that what people want from politicians in opposition in normal times, but particularly now, are not politicians who are trying to get political advantage. It is too serious. It matters so much for people, and what they want are answers, and they want their politicians to raise their game. And yet again, I think personally that Jeremy Corbyn has shown why he wouldn't have been the right person to be Prime Minister. And you just sort of think, thank God we're not in a situation with him and his acolyte running number 10
well,
now.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'd also forgotten that Gordon Brown used to be Prime Minister. Now that you've reminded me, I'm feeling a bit unwell. So I'm going to go and see some medical assistants in the rest of the building. But what happens next? Because, of course, this is an unprecedented scene, and we keep hearing that. But I think as time has gone by, I have been one of those people who was accused of not taking this seriously enough. And I still believe that some of the measures are perhaps more, prophylactic, shall we say, than they need to be. But I understand why they have to be done. And I'm certainly no longer the person that says, I'm going to keep going out. I went out for a drink on Monday and Tuesday, and I thought, yesterday, when somebody asked me if I wanted to go to the pub, I actually said no, because it feels wrong now.
Yes, I mean, there are so many unknown factors. I mean, if you take the example of China, been discussed this morning, that there's been some very positive news from China, that there's been no new cases.
Yes.
As of yesterday. But therefore, people are then leaping to a criticism again, where they say, why didn't we do what they've done earlier? So there's two issues there that, you know, we still don't know the answer to. Right. Firstly, how long can we keep people at home working? You know, maybe 4 months with your, you know, it's quite fun for the first couple of days. You know, you're getting a few jobs done. But then you look ahead, you think that is alarming. But also, I mean, the more sort of scientific and medical point is what happens when those controls and restrictions are lifted in China. My understanding, I'm not a scientist, I'm no Piers Morgan, will it all come back again? And that is what we still don't know.
Right. And that is the difficulty, isn't it? Because one of the things I'm going to try and get at this morning is to talk to people about how they access the money that the government has promised them. For example, I've had loads of taxi drivers be in touch with me over the course of the last 12 hours or so, saying, what do we do? You know, we've literally lost almost all the income we would have had, and this is in all parts of the country, not just in London. You know, how easy is it that going to be? And because we do know that government machinery can be very kind of arduous to navigate.
That absolutely right. I mean, you know, these are unprecedented times. It's a great cliche, but it absolutely.
Yeah, but it really is, yeah.
It is, and I'm not going to come on here saying I have the answers. But one of the good things about working, when I worked at Number 10, is what you never see is just the sheer skill of our civil service. You know, they've been coming to a lot of criticism for different reasons, and they can't really answer back. But what they are very, very good at is managing these kind of crises. And the speed at which the government have come forward with various packages, you know, some of these packages in normal times would take months and months to put together. The long-term plan for the NHS, which I helped work on when I worked at Number 10, took 6 months to work on. And now we've seen significant measures already announced. I understand there'll be more announcements either tomorrow on the economic front coming their way. But you're right. One of my, local Indian restaurants who I go to in normal times, and I was doing my little bit to order a takeaway.
Yes.
The manager told me that they've had big cancellations, and he's going to have to lay off all his staff. I mean, there's this assumption, if you work for a big company, that if you're staying at home and you're not working, then you continue to get paid. But a lot of these small businesses, they lay them off and they don't get paid. So let's just, hope that the government, well, I'm sure they are, looking at ways to deal with it. I mean, Boris said something I thought very, very insightful in one of his daily press conferences.
Yeah.
That, firstly, that there will, nothing is ruled out and no one should be punished for no fault of their own. And that's, I think, people working for local restaurants, work very, very hard on relatively low income. Then the community and the government need to step up.
No, I think that's absolutely right, because as much as we can do the takeaway thing from restaurants that we would normally go out to, that's going to still be a very, very small amount of people and a very small amount of revenue. And I think I've been hearing from all sorts of restaurateurs who one who said, I think last night on Talk Radio, normally they would do 400 covers on any given evening, and they're now currently doing 40. So it's a tenth, basically, of what they would normally take in. I was hearing from Cyrus Todiwala, who's on Saturday Kitchen quite a bit, owns Cafe Spice in Aldgate. He said his restaurants in Heathrow's Hilton are revealing that apparently out of 350 rooms at the Hilton, only 18 are occupied. So this is a massive, massive financial problem.
Yeah, and what we have seen listening to the news and listening to your summary just before you came to me, what is revealed is just the interconnectivity.
Yeah.
My local dry cleaners, they may have to go under because they do a lot of the dry cleaning and washing for local hotels.
Of course,
the whole thing is interconnected. It's incredibly complicated. And that sort of gets me back to my point I made earlier, is, the government are having to respond to all this complex nature to try and keep the country going. And what we need to do as a country, what we need to do if people have leadership roles in the media and elsewhere.
Yes, exactly right.
The attitude and just pull together and support people. It's good in Parliament. Yes, I was watching the parliamentary proceedings, and MPs were asking very sensible questions. But for me, there's a sort of a tone of sort of criticism, as if somehow, if only they were in control and they were in charge, it'll all be fine.
Yeah.
The truth is, it is incredibly complicated. We've got the best people on the job. We need to pull everyone's resources and effort together, both both in politics and on the front line, but also in local communities.
Yes, and also to understand the process and in some ways the strategy, looking back on it, it's actually worked rather well, because when they announced yesterday that they were going to shut schools, I've got two teenage boys, one of whom is now no longer going to be doing his GCSEs. He's kind of confused about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, because he was hoping to pull himself up a little bit by doing the exams. Now he's not so sure. But in the end, it looks like they did the right thing, because had they done this 2 weeks ago, it probably would have been too early. It might have caused all kinds of problems in the NHS and in other areas where people need to look after their children at home. And in fact, you know, the longer this goes on, the better it looks for Boris.
Yes, and I mean, the interesting what's happened. Yesterday they had to close because the number of schools that had closed anyway had jumped from just 70 schools had closed to over to nearly 500, because teachers were self-isolating, teachers not turning up. So they had to announce the closure so they could do it in a controlled way. But I think I'm actually being impressed by, by the best of both, if I could say,
yes.
That you are closing the schools, which on the best advice of the scientists to control the spread of infection, but also keeping a skeleton facility open so that the children of people working on the front line for doctors and nurses can still go. They can still go to work because their kids have been looked after. When I first heard that, I thought, oh, poor kids.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else at home and enjoying themselves. But I was reassured to hear this morning that they wouldn't be being put through lessons. They would also be having more recreational activities.
Yes.
But also, people are very glib because there's so much going on. You know, one line just doesn't get the attention that it should. You know, keeping the schools opening in the way that they're planning means that some of the most vulnerable children will still get the care and support that they need. So it's a good package done under very, very difficult circumstances and very, very fast.
Yes. And what happens next? And I know that whenever I used to ask this question when we were in the midst of the Brexit stalemate, which seems so long ago now, I've completely forgotten about it, right? I mean, what does happen next? Because there's not very much more that can be done other than a total kind of shutdown of movement altogether.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Well, I think there are other measures to, I think it's a turning off the tap and trying to flatten that curve. But very, very soon, we'll be in the heart of it. And we've with all the practical elements about this, we need to think about what's actually going to happen, because all the reports are some people the illness would pass through, you know, without note, but some people become incredibly ill and it's quite unpleasant.
Yeah.
So we've got to get through. I mean, the government's doing all kinds of things, my understanding, and getting more kit and ventilators into hospitals, and buy ourselves time. And one point about, you know, the ongoing historic criticisms of pharmaceutical companies, you know, they are the people that are going to save us with a vaccine, with appropriate testing. And I just think we should, as a country, away from all this, is actually show more support for businesses generally, and particularly the pharmaceutical industry, who, you know, they will be working, you know, round the clock to find a vaccine to keep the world alive.
Yes, absolutely right. So Robbie Gibb, working now for KEXT CNC, former head of communications at Number 10. Thank you so much for talking to us.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are here for you today, so we want to hear from as many of you as possible about what is going on in your world, in your life, in your business, in your school, in your community, because if there's anything we can help you with, we will do our level best to do so. 0344 499 1000. Don't forget, we are live streaming now on YouTube, on Facebook and on Twitter, so you can watch us, which is a thing of great beauty, as well as listening to us. Let's talk to Michelle, who's in Surrey. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, very well. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been better.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. You run a hairdressing salon.
I do indeed. Yeah, yeah. I do. I run a hairdressing salon in Surrey.
Very nice. What part of Surrey?
Oxshott.
Very nice. So normally speaking, that would be quite a good business, I would imagine.
Yes, it's a lovely little business. 13 years established now.
Right.
And I have 5 staff who are relying on me for their livelihood.
Yes.
It's quite stressful right now.
I bet. And what's happening? Are people coming in as usual or not really?
No, I would say probably we're down about 80%. And
wow.
That's happened within the space of about 2 weeks,
okay.
Which I totally understand. I totally, you know, a lot of our clientele are older ladies. I totally understand why they're not coming out.
Right.
But obviously, as a business, we need help, and we don't need it like in 2 weeks. We need it right now.
Exactly.
And I phoned my bank yesterday, and it was basically horrendous. I was shocked, actually.
What did they say?
I was on hold on and off for 2 hours.
Goodness.
The first person I spoke to was a business manager, and she basically said, why would the virus be affecting me, and how long did I think this situation was going to go on for, and the most ridiculous questions. And my main reason for calling was to ask them for a payment holiday, because I already have lending with them, and I understand they can't keep throwing money at people. I get that at the moment. But I wanted a payment holiday. I have a loan payment coming out next week that I can't afford to pay currently. And the guy that I was then put on to again said, it's not standard procedure. You can't have a payment holiday. We'll just let the payment go into arrears, but we probably won't charge you.
Mm. That's outrageous, isn't it?
There was absolutely no help. I actually ended up in tears at the end of the phone call, and I've been with that bank for 30 years.
And what's
years.
The bank? What's the last name and shame him?
Lloyd's
Bank. You should be ashamed of yourselves, Lloyd's Bank. We'll get on to them.
They really should. They really should. I literally was devastated at the end of the call, because I'm scared. I'm scared for myself. I'm scared for my girls.
Of course. Now, what about this loan that we're supposed to be able to access with a small business account? We've heard from somebody this morning who told us that his accountant says he's got a £10,000 loan coming. We've been contacted by the PPS, the personal secretary of one of the ministers of this government, who's given us all the information. I've just tweeted it out. I don't know if you're on Twitter. And it says that you are able to get a £10,000 sort of bridging loan, for want of a better word, basically, if you have a small business. So I think that's what you should be able to do. Let me just find it here for you.
I know they've talked about a grant.
Yes.
Waiting to hear, but again,
grant funding of £25,000 for retail, hospitality and leisure businesses with property with a rateable value between £15,000 and £51,000. Now, other people have said to me, Michelle, that if you're outside of that grouping, it's difficult, but I don't know what your rateable value is.
I get the relief because my salon's quite small, so
right.
I don't pay business rates, so I get the relief.
Okay.
But I was led to believe that if I was not paying business rates, I'd be entitled to a £10,000 grant, but obviously I can't get any information.
Right. Have you got an accountant, Michelle?
Yes, I have. I have sent her an email.
Yeah, talk to your accountant, because she should know. And come back to us if you're having trouble, because it must be, you know, what I want to do today is try and make sure that everybody who can get money is able to get it, because it's all very well the government saying we've got money for you, but if you can't get it, there's no use to you.
And I've tried all the, you know, you phone the helpline, it's engaged, because obviously everyone's doing the same. Everyone's desperate to sort it out. They're all so frightened.
Right.
So
all right. Well, listen, Michelle, please do talk to your accountant. And then please, if you can and you need to, come back to us and we'll try and figure out what the hell is going on here, because you need to get that money and you should be able to get it.
Thank you for giving us a voice.
Michelle, no problem at all. Thank you. Let's talk to Patrick, who's in Stafford. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Mike.
How you
doing? Thanks for that, Desequa, that lady just said. Thanks for giving us a voice. Much appreciated.
Well, it's very important, because it's all, as I say, it's all very well with the sound bites and the press conferences and the statements, but, you know, where's the money?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And just a couple of things that you also said. I missed the last hour of the show. I caught this morning. I just got in a meeting about some problems we've
That's
got.
That's a shocking admission. Don't ever do that again.
I had to have a meeting there. I apologise for that.
It's all right.
But you said a couple of things. You said, look, everyone's suspending payments to suppliers. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, businesses are hoarding cash, understandably so.
Sure.
And then you pointed to a hotel that had 18 rooms occupied and 330 beds. And that's the scale of the problem. Back in 2008, a much smaller problem than this. We're a business general practice of lawyers. I mean, forgive me for being a lawyer. That's not a very popular person to be.
Yeah.
We did employ until yesterday 30 people. Turnover about 2 million quid, 2.2
right.
million quid. And in December 2007, we did 120 conveyances. And in December 2008, we did 12.
Blimey.
Now, we had a broad spread of business there. We had a good recession. We had a good litigation business. And we went into the recession with no debt, and we came out with no debt. And I think our last time overdrawn was 2003. So we're a prudent bunch of people, and we come into this crisis with a bit of cash in the bank, but only a bit.
Okay.
Yesterday, I looked at the business loan offering, the £330 billion that's been offered by the government. And the way that works, as we understand it, and I might have it wrong, is that the government will lend you money as last resort, but if you've got any assets or anything behind you as a business owner, you've got to put that money up.
Right.
So many business owners are going to say, probably more prosperous than I am, if they've got capital behind them, this probably isn't the moment to invest in a business.
It's interesting you say that, actually, because we had a caller yesterday who said exactly that, because what they said was, we don't want to have to be putting up our homes. If we run a limited company, it is limited and it is protected in that way, that you don't, if it does go wrong, you don't lose everything. Whereas if you have to give your home up to the government, then you do lose everything.
Absolutely. So I'm just talking about my client base. So you can get a loan from this £330 billion scheme without a personal guarantee or security if you can prove you've got nothing.
Right.
But of course, generally speaking, the guys we should be backing here are the guys who've done quite well or are prudent, who've got a bit, but they're not going to get those loans. Now, look, I totally get that. I mean, Boris went with the idea that number 10 is going to control the number 11, and he's running the finances. But now he's had to run the medical response to coronavirus. I take it he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
But we all know, and I've been saying for a couple of 3 weeks, I feel, Mike, I'm ahead of the curve. So much so, I stopped following Piers Morgan on Twitter.
A lot of people have, funnily enough. I don't know what's happened to Piers. I've been trying to get him on the show, but he hasn't responded to me. I'm not sure whether there's a particular reason why he's getting so worked up. And, I mean, people say, oh, it's because they won't talk to him on GMB. But I don't think it's just that. I think he's got an elderly mother. He might be worried about her. I don't know what it is. But certainly, he is very unusually recalcitrant, shall we say, about this.
Worried for himself. I mean, I think we've all got that slight nervousness, although I think this is a disease that probably affects people with lack of immune system.
Yeah.
I'm not a medic, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, I did a bit of stockpiling a while ago. I try and save where I can do. So, but if you look back to 2008, we printed 300 billion and we took 700 billion of borrowing. So it was a £1 trillion response to a much smaller problem.
Mm.
The world, I mean, this is big stuff and I'm not an accountant, but the world's going to have to rebase and they're going to have to print money. And it probably isn't sensible to give money to people like me. Because if I'm a business owner, even though I think I'm a reasonable man, most business owners, given large amounts of money to their business, will favour their own personal circumstances,
sure,
their own debts, their own problems. This is going to have to be a large printing exercise. And somehow through the tax system, the money is going to have to be given to the people. And if that happens, then it allows me, with less of a heavy conscience, to lay people off for a period while we get through it. But the numbers, let's just not even think about 330 billion. That was the printing response, absent of borrowing, to the last problem we had.
Yes.
It's a much, much bigger problem. Ricky, lovely little lad, 38 years old, is he? I mean, I've been through, I don't know, three major business problems in my career. I've seen a few real crises. And this is off the scale compared to anything else.
Patrick, listen, I totally get you. I've got to ask you to stop, though, because we've got a press conference currently ongoing, just started on COVID-19. Now, most of the headlines this morning are all about the schools being shut down, all about how we're trying to suppress and flatten out the bell curve of unfortunate sort of, infection, basically trying to stop as many people from getting the infection as possible and pushing it further down the road and further down the line to avoid hospitals getting clogged up with people who have got the disease. But let's talk to Professor George Lomonosov. He is virologist at the John Innes Centre, who's been experimenting on a vaccine to prevent coronavirus in pigs. Professor, a very good morning to you.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. I mean, I don't think virologists have ever been quite so busy as they are at the moment, have they?
Oh, no, we've never been so popular.
Exactly right. I mean, I don't think I've ever spoken to a virologist before about 2 months ago, and suddenly now I've met about eight of them.
They're everywhere now.
They really are, you know, everywhere you turn. But let's look at what's going on. How confident are you that what the government has been doing up to now and is doing at the moment is working?
Well, we won't know for a few weeks, to be honest, because the initial stages of infection, you don't develop symptoms.
Right.
And you can't actually even test for it until a certain level of virus has been reached. But certainly the hope is that we'll begin to see a decline in the rate of infection. And what we're really looking to is countries which are a bit ahead of us. And I know on the previous, one of your previous speakers was talking to you from Madrid, and there's a lot of cases, about 15,000 currently in Spain, and they're doing a lot of shutting down, and the hope is that we will see, we'll get a view of our future from looking at them, and whether they can reduce the rate, and of course Italy as well.
Yes, and why is it that we seem to be getting the impression, I don't know whether it's just the media impression, that the sort of statistics, if you like, from Italy are so much worse than the ones that we have in this country in terms of number of casualties?
Well, they are ahead, and it is really amazing, particularly the death rate, which is, I don't want to alarm your listeners, but it's just shy of 10% of cases. Now, the thought is that maybe reflects underdiagnosis of mild cases, because it's out of line, to be honest, with other places which...
Well, that's what I think people don't quite understand, because as much as we're being given a lot of information and we're learning an awful lot more every single day with each day that passes, it doesn't make any sense when you look at the difference in deaths.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, the most likely scenario is that... the number of tests is low, so they haven't picked up the mild cases.
Right.
And that's the thought. The other possibility is that it's quite an elderly population, particularly in the north, one of the oldest in the world, and that may be skewing it a bit.
Right.
Also, another fact, and I simply don't know if this is the case, I don't think anyone knows, I think, you know, why that particular region. I suspect it's something to do with it being a major winter tourist destination because of the skiing
in
Venice. And they may have had quite a large number of foci initially.
Yeah, I mean, we were told as well that there was quite a good connection to the fashion business. I don't know if that's true, in the sense that an awful lot of Italian clothing manufacturers are based there, but they make a lot of business in China, and they make a lot of their stuff in China. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I don't really know that much about the fashion business, but that's certainly what I've heard, and that that is where a lot of their sales are. And so there may have been a lot of people travelling for business between Milan and parts of China.
Yes. And so as far as where we go from here, if we shut the schools down tomorrow, as we believe is pretty much happening everywhere, how far are we away from the next stage, which I suppose is officially kind of locking down London?
Well, I suspect London particularly, it might be around the weekend from what I hear. Now, I have no particular inside information. Of course, one of the problems if you announce a lockdown is, of course, everyone wants to go home. Completely understandably does. And there's a fear that in Italy, that when the north was, Lombardy was locked down, people then moved to other parts.
Right.
And it can actually have the unfortunate thing, it can spread it more widely.
Mm. Yeah, right. So a lockdown in London would mean what exactly? Presumably closing down the tubes, no buses, no kind of trains coming into the place?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it in a number of ways. You can certainly do that, and public transport, people guess, is because a close contact might be a major source and people moving around.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be closing a lot of shops,
right?
Apart from, obviously, places selling food and necessities, obviously pharmacies, would need to stay open. And this is the kind of approach we've seen in Italy, and I'm beginning to really see in Spain as well, to really, you know, try and restrict movement a lot.
Right. And as far as a vaccine is concerned, I mean, you're working on one, presumably. How far away are we from realistically getting a vaccine?
Well, a number of companies, obviously all hands to the pump, as it were,
yeah,
and have got initially what they call vaccine candidates, things you think might be useful. And I believe at least one has actually injected their material into human volunteers who will be healthy young individuals,
right,
just to see it's safe, you know, because you might have something, nothing to do with the virus, just something from the production process.
Yeah.
And then the challenge is, okay, if it's safe, you then have to try and work out if it actually gives the right kind of antibodies.
Yeah.
Is
it conceivable, for example, that the vaccine might work for some people but not for others? For example, if you did have underlying health concerns, or if you were older, that it might not work for you but it would work for others?
Yeah, and of course the issue also is you've got to be a little bit careful in giving vaccines to immunocompromised people.
Yes.
Because they can't, you know, mount an
appropriate... Because you're effectively giving them the virus, aren't you?
The good thing about modern vaccines is they're not actually based on the live vaccine, live virus. They've never come from it.
All right.
It's all. I mean, this is one of the great advances in the last 10 years, particularly. You can call it synthetic biology. Mm. You can actually just take the sequence, which was released very quickly, and I give the people in China great credit for this. So we can just see it on the WHO website. It's been publicly available, so everyone can actually start designing material from the right virus without ever having to handle infectious material.
OK. And what do you make of the WHO's advice, which is test, 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 basically, because we are apparently not testing. And my view of this, and I have no reason to have any view at all because I'm not an expert, but it seems to me there's no point in testing to see if you've got it, because you might not have it, but then you might get it tomorrow. Surely better to test to see if you've had it.
Well, the current test, I mean, in a way, I mean, I certainly partly agree with you. At the moment, the current test only tests for the presence of virus.
Right.
And so you can only detect whether you actually got it.
Right.
There's obviously, you can't test whether you might get it. But it does help, certainly. I mean, a lot of, say, the medical staff are concerned they're not being tested.
Yeah.
And are self-isolating on the basis of just a precaution when they actually haven't got it.
Mm.
And that's actually preventing staff going into work.
Yes.
You know, as a precautionary method. You're talking about testing afterwards, and that is extremely important. And there are antibody tests coming along. So what they do is look for the presence of antibodies in an individual, and those antibodies show that you've mounted an immune response to the virus.
Right.
And therefore you've had it and recovered. And that will be extremely important going forward to actually be able to tell that. And those are rapidly being developed.
OK. And what about the news from China that we're hearing, that basically they are moving away now from the main kind of peak of the problem, and there are no new cases in Wuhan?
Well, I mean, that's very encouraging. And they took a very severe, dramatic approach, which in a way they can do with the way society is organized, and it's you can take those political views on this, but, you know, rather sort of a controlled society. And so you can really do it. You can track everyone. I think everyone has an app on their phone to be tracked, and so you can really follow it. What they think they're going to see, and they started to see, is sort of sporadic outbreaks outside, maybe from people returning from other parts of the world, or maybe, you know, people who weren't quite well traveling, and then these things are like, you know, secondary outbreaks starting. But the hope is that they would be smaller and more controllable.
Right. A couple of questions for you from the audience that I've got here. One tweet here from Thelma. What I would like to know is, if you get Wuhan flu aged over 70, it seems that resulting pneumonia is what is likely to kill you. If you had a pneumonia jag, does that cover you against getting that pneumonia?
Unfortunately, pneumonia is caused, I mean, it's an inflammation of the lungs.
Right.
And it's caused by a variety of different disease-causing organisms. I mean, viruses certainly, but also bacteria. And if you've had a jab against a specific one, it will protect you against that cause of pneumonia, but not another virus which would cause it.
So a pneumovaccination is not necessarily going to help you?
No, not a vaccination against, when it becomes available against this, we certainly hope would, but a previous vaccination, say, against bacterial pneumonia, unfortunately won't.
OK. Well, listen, Professor, very helpful. Thank you very much for talking to us. Good luck with your vaccination search. What sort of length of time do you think we're talking about before you might realistically be able to offer it to people?
The vaccines, and all this is not particularly me, but generally the view is about 12 months, because even if you can get a good candidate and show it's safe, you've then got to do the test that it's effective. But the crucial thing is scaling up production.
Yes.
Because you're talking about, probably billions of doses.
Well, you're happy to give it to everyone, really, aren't you?
Yes,
Professor George Lomonosov, virologist. Now, many of you want to get on today. Many of you will get on. If we don't get to you, please don't despair. We'll try and talk to you tomorrow, because it's been an incredibly busy week, but an incredibly interesting week, and a kind of dangerous feeling week as well, because we've suddenly gone from me going out to the bar on Monday and Tuesday and now to the point where I'm sort of thinking, well, shall I pop over to Borough Market for a glass of wine? But I'm driving into work now, so I don't really want to have a drink before I drive home. Once I get home, I'm not really going back out again. The world has changed dramatically in the last 48 hours. Donald McLeod, my friend and a columnist in the Sunday Post, owner also of the Garage in Glasgow, he and I have been talking because he was due to come down here next week. He was going to be doing Plank of the Week with me and with Carol Decker as well, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. He's trying to keep his business afloat, trying to keep it going in Scotland. Let's find out from him now precisely what's going on. Donald, very good afternoon to you.
good afternoon.
Now, you called me last... this is the thing. You called me yesterday and he said to me, hello, and I just started laughing. And we both started laughing because I'm not sure what else you can do, really.
I know. It's getting hysterical. I'm going from anxious, stressed, confused...
Yeah.
...to hysterically laughing. But really, you know, I'm just angry. I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm no situation I'm no control of. Angry at the government. You know, guilty of washing their hands here, you know. Initially guilty of doing nothing, now guilty of leaving, you know, licensees, the trade, the hospitality industry awash, you know, getting morally judged.
Yes.
By snowflakes or the keyboard warriors for opening or trying to put money in somebody's pocket, pay wages.
Yeah.
You know, terrible situation.
I mean, how many people do you employ, for example, in the garage? I mean, you were telling me that you've got quite a big wage bill on any given week, right?
Yeah, well, you're not getting me. About 200, most of them part-time.
Right.
But, you know, there's full-time ones. And then we've got to, you know, you're looking at, you're now looking at essential, non-essential staff. Because, quite honestly, you know, as much as I wish to stay open, because that is the government guidelines, the government are saying that not to close, we're not officially closing, but at the same time going the other way and saying don't go out.
Right.
You know, it's really confusing, and I think that's the big problem we all have. So if you're trying to stay open and do the social distancing and everything else, people are still not out. It's absolutely dead out here. You know, I'm going to have to change my name to Jack Donald.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a picture. I don't know if it was you that put out a picture of Buchanan Street, which if anyone knows Glasgow well, is the main shopping street. It's a sort of pedestrian precinct and all that. And it was completely empty.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sitting in my office just now, and it's even worse today.
Right.
But the effect of the government saying, well, you know, we're not going to officially close you down, and that's both governments, both Boris and Nicholas, is that people are staying at home. People are scared. And, you know, I'm not liking it. I'm not, you know...
Well, do you know what I feel like? It's not that I'm scared to go out, but I'm beginning to think it's probably not the right thing to do.
Morally obliged, you know?
You
feel guilty.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to get absolutely steaming, which you're not allowed to do, of course.
Could do that at home, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to do it in the club myself. I think
You have to drink the profits.
Daniels there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, do you qualify for any of this help? Because we've been talking about this on the show today.
Yeah, do I qualify? I don't know. Obviously my FD is looking at that. We will we'll qualify, as we all do, under the rates package, which, you know, no rates for a year, or, you know, they're going to pause on that. Whether we can get, you know, whether we qualify for grants or even want to take them, because why put yourself into more debt when you're in debt?
Well, exactly. You know, and one of the things that people are saying to me is that they're asking for business people like yourself to put up your own private assets as collateral. So if you actually... So forget about the fact that you've got a limited company. If you take this money from the government and then you do go under, they'll take your house.
this is it. You know, and I think that's terrible. In Germany, Norway, and other countries, they're actually paying, you know, giving you a mortgage freeze, no question asked. You know, they are paying the staff wages. All these, you know, I really am concerned and really worried about all these staff who, when I close the doors, which could be any day now,
right.
You know, that's them. There's a wee extra. There's no more, and it's not for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. I think this is going on for ages, and this is where the government have really got to make a decision. At what point do they say games are bogey? We can't beat this and get the wheels of commerce turning. If they don't, we're heading into the Great Depression. They'll be worse than the one in the 30s. I really, really do.
Well, this is the thing that worries me, right? I can't understand how, and I'm not criticising the government because I think they're doing the best that they can do, but I don't understand how they can expect commerce to go on with no business being done. And people who, like you, run businesses that rely upon, you know, the handing over of money, basically, in exchange for drinks or coming into your club or whatever it is, you know, how can they expect you to exist without any income?
Well, I don't think they do think that way. Listen, to be perfectly fair, like, I think you would agree, the government, both governments, finally getting together, isn't that nice?
Yes.
But and actually doing something about it. They actually are coming across competent. They actually are putting money on the table, which they did not do back in the 2008. Back in 2008, they gave it to the banks.
Right.
And that enrages me to hear that the banks so far are continuing on with their 40% overdraft fee.
Yeah.
I do not want to see one single penny going to the banks.
Right.
I want to see any money going to the people who make this country great or all these countries great. Giving money to the banks, that would be disgraceful.
Yeah.
That would be another waste, which just should not happen.
Absolutely.
Here's another thing. If I'm asked to choose, if I'm having to make difficult, really heart-rending problems, you know, choices, sorry, between non-essential and essential staff, why aren't the government doing that with their own department?
Yes.
Why do we, you know, Food Standards Agency, Historic Scotland, Environment Scotland, or just, you know, or the similar ones down south, all these quangles, alcohol focus, why are they still allowed to run? Why are we paying for them and they're not getting slashed and chopped? If we're all feeling the pain, we should all feel the pain.
No, you're absolutely right. And also, that's the other problem with all of the people who are making these decisions. They're all very cosily tucked up on the public payroll. You know, there's no chance of any of the MPs losing any money. There's no chance of anyone in that cabinet office getting told, sorry, mate, we don't need you to come in tomorrow.
They're all sitting there. We're all together. We're all back in the government and then going slag it, you know, the opposition party. No, we need essential government. We need essential, you know, like a working task force of MPs, and that's a proper cabinet, like a work, you know, a wartime sort of cabinet. So the rest, go away. Leave us alone.
Right.
We don't want to pay for you, you know. Another
thing. Well, I had a tweet today from a guy, Donald, who said he was getting he was walking past one of the streets where near where he lives in London. There's a parking warden giving somebody a parking ticket, and you go, "What?
Absolutely.
Come on!"
I'll tell you what. You know, one of the first things I'm going to be looking at is my council tax, and I think everybody else should do as well, because the services are not going to be there.
Right.
No schools, no local services, planning, no planning, no transport.
Right. Really,
because that's going to shut libraries.
Yeah.
Poor environmental health, changing standards. Why are we paying for them?
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. Now, what about the other part of your business, Donald, which is the promoting business? You know, bands aren't coming, presumably, to this country. Nobody's travelling. I can't remember if you put Lana Del Rey on already or whether she's supposed to be coming.
Yeah, no, she decided to bail out.
No, so that was cancelled. But, I mean, you put on some pretty big shows in Glasgow.
Yeah.
I mean, what part of that business is knackered now, isn't it?
Oh, completely. I mean, completely. I think the big, you know, the warning sign was when Brandenburg in Germany extended their lockdown to the 15th of June. That affected Pink Pop. The whole of Germany is going to follow that. And so that they're pinched on Glastonbury and will do so right through the whole festival circuit. And let's face it, there's no place open to put bands on.
Right.
Nor really is there an appetite for people to go out, buy a ticket and see a show, which is perfectly understandable. So, you know, you can't even go on holiday. I mean, but promoting, they're saying, you know, a couple of months, let's get through this. I keep emphasising the point that it's not going to be a couple of months. This is going to go on and on for ages. And like we did in the 19th century, we had to cope with tuberculosis, diphtheria, cholera, typhoid. We still got on with business.
Yes.
We have to, yeah, or we will face the consequences of a lot worse. But here, you know, there was a funny one I saw today, and you know, it's so easy to get angry, so easy to get annoyed. But I got a sort of tweet through from a friend of mine who's a big American promoter, and said, "Seen it all now, a bloke in Sainsbury's with his trolley filled to the top with toilet rolls, hand sanitizer, bacterial spray, baby food. I said, you horrible bee. Think of the elderly." He said, "That's all well and good, mate, but I work here. Can I go on the stand yourself?"
Yeah, well, you've got to laugh occasionally just to keep your sense of humour. We're going to film. Unfortunately, you won't make it down here for Plank of the Week next week, but we're going to do one today, so you can get that on YouTube, and that'll cheer you up, hopefully, no end. But, I mean, goodness knows when this is going to end.
This is the fear. When does it end? I think that'll be the most important decision government has to make.
Yeah.
Because, I personally think they should be shoving billions into social care and proper isolation of the elderly and the vulnerable, to really, really look after them, in order that we can all earn money, make a few quid, put the money back into the government coffers to pay for it.
Right.
But they can't keep dishing out these checks. Up to now, I think the government, you know, to be fairly honest, great, other than the conflicting advice they're giving on going out or visiting pubs or not visiting pubs. That's not been helpful at all. In fact, it was disastrous. And it still is. It's still today. They've still not made that decision. Yeah, it's just the decision's getting made for them, as they probably knew anyway.
Yeah.
Scared enough people. They won't go out. Nobody turns up. You know, I had two people come in at the cat house last night, so I think we know what's going to happen there.
Blimey. Did they end up leaving together?
Well, I don't know. No, I need to check that out.
You
actually
should.
I think possibly went to the garage to make up the
unbelievable.
Make it 62.
Well, listen, hopefully we will get through it, Donald. I'll see you at some point soon, hopefully. We'll get you down here. We'll get you back on the show. We'll get you back into the building. We'll do Plank of the Week. Something has to give, surely. But Donald's absolutely right. This money that is swilling around should not be given to the banks. It should be given to business, and it should be given to people, ordinary people who are trying to get by. Every single day of every single week. 0344 499 1000. Coming up, we're going to speak to Chloe Madeley about exercising while you're isolating on your own at home. But don't forget, you're not alone, because we are here. We are Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio via DAB, online, or via the Talk Radio app. And if you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us on 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.